In the summer of 2008, perhaps you got a chance to see the Pixar animated movie WALL-E. This was a movie about, well, a little trash-collecting robot actually named WALL-E. And the plot of the movie is that here on Earth, years and years in the future, trash has piled up so much that nothing can grow anymore and people can't live here. And so what humans do is they make spaceships and they have to leave the Earth for a time and live in these spaceships orbiting around the Earth while these little trash-collecting robots clean up the Earth to make it safe to live again. And they had a system in place so that as they were out in their little spaceships waiting for the Earth to be ready for their return, they sent out little probes. And the probes were designed to look for life on Earth, little plants to grow again. And when they found one, they would come and send word to the spaceships that it's time to come home. The Earth is safe again. We can imagine with what great sadness people would have had to abandon the Earth and how they would have probably looked each day, wondering when would it be time to go home. But eventually, time had passed and they got kind of used to being in their spaceships. In fact, the great funniness of the movie is that as we see them in their spaceships, they're actually just floating around on couches and they've become fat and lazy. And all they do is watch TV all day and they don't even walk. They just float in these little automated machines wherever they want to go. And they've gotten so used to this that one day, one of these probes does return from Earth with a little plant saying, "It's time. The Earth is ready. Come on home. It's a great day." Well, an interesting thing happens. When the news arrives at the spaceship that it's time, that's not such a welcome message. It's not actually seen as the good news that it should have been. Instead, the machines that rule these spaceships have gotten kind of accustomed to being in charge. And they don't like the idea of maybe it's time to go home. They kind of like the way things are right there. People have gotten used to it. They've gotten used to the power structures. So what happens is, instead of rejoicing, they actually try to hide the message that it's time to go home. And they try to kill the little plant that's the evidence that it's time to go home. I thought of this movie in light of our gospel today, because something very similar is happening. Throughout history, God was preparing his people for the coming of the Messiah. The people who walked in darkness, Isaiah tells us, will see a great light. In our first reading, Isaiah says to a Jerusalem that's in darkness, like the people far away in their spaceships, he says, "Don't worry. There'll be good news. People will rejoice over Jerusalem again in the future. Caravans of camels will come with kings bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Just hope." Fast forward a couple hundred years, and we have our gospel. Here arrive the kings on their camels bringing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they show up before King Herod, the representative of all the Jews, and they say, "Here we are. Good news. Where is the King of the Jews? He's been born." Well, much like in the movie WALL-E, the reaction is not quite what it should have been. Do the people in Jerusalem rejoice with the good news that the Messiah has finally been born? Well, no. It says that, rather, King Herod was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And in fact, we know that King Herod, just like in the movie WALL-E, he goes out and actually tries to kill the little baby Jesus Messiah. He doesn't want anyone to know about Jesus, and he wants to put him to death and eliminate him, the long prophesied and awaited Messiah. What went so wrong here? Well, just like in the movie WALL-E, the people at Jerusalem, well, it didn't take too long before they stopped waiting for the Messiah. They kind of got comfortable with the arrangements of the way things were going in Jerusalem. Yeah, they had to compromise on their faith, and they started practicing worship of the pagan gods, and they made deals with the Romans, and Herod himself is not even but half Jewish. He's not even the rightful king. As difficult as that might have been, well, it got comfortable. They got used to that. They got along with the Romans, even though they weren't necessarily right with God. So when all of a sudden, the good news, supposedly, of God has come in the Messiah, well, it's not such good news. Why? Well, it would mean that things would radically have to change. The systems and structures of power that they got used to would all be overturned by the Messiah. Those in power, like Herod, didn't like that. Those who had gotten comfortable didn't like that. Rather, it would be easier to just keep on going the way they were, rather than accept what was supposed to be the good news of the Messiah. We shouldn't also miss the great irony of this situation, that here are all these Jews in the most chosen Jewish city of all time, in Jerusalem, prepared supposedly for the Messiah, and here comes these outsiders, these magi from the east who aren't Jewish. They're not even from Jerusalem. They're from Persia, probably, in the east. And here they come, and they're the ones to announce the Messiah has come. We shouldn't miss this great twist of events. We see something, I think, similar then in our own day. For we too are called to be ready to receive the Messiah. And I can't help but notice how oftentimes, maybe like those people in the movie WALL-E or in Jerusalem at the time of Herod, do we get kind of complacent and used to the way life goes, such that when Jesus comes, maybe with good news for us, saying, you don't have to stay in your sin, you don't have to stay the way you are, I've got good news. Do we see it as good news? Or maybe do we too kind of become complacent and comfortable with the compromises we've made with society? Okay, I won't talk about my faith publicly because it makes things difficult. We get used to that. Or maybe, you know, everybody in society gives into this sin or that sin, so we get used to that and we compromise. And like the people in WALL-E, we get kind of fat and dumb and lazy on our couches and can no longer see the good news of Jesus as good news. Maybe we too wish it would just go away. Maybe we even actively fight against the good news of Jesus in our life. These outsider magi remind me a little bit of sometimes converts to the Catholic faith. Because while those of us who have been Catholic our whole lives might get kind of complacent, I love to work with the RCIA and those who are converting to Catholicism, because they're very much able to say, wow, you in the Catholic Church are so lucky. You've got a pope and bishops and priests to teach you the truth. Wow, you've got the Eucharist, and you can receive God as your very food, and you can go to confession and be forgiven. You guys are so lucky. I want that. We might think, like the people in Jerusalem, oh, yeah, I guess that's good news. Do we kind of take it for granted? Can we allow these outsiders to come and inspire us? The big question here is, then, how did this happen? Why were the Magi able to see something that apparently the rest of the people missed if they were supposed to be waiting for Jesus? Well, I think we have to look at where is our vision focused. What are we looking at? The people in Jerusalem were obviously looking at the society around them and saying, how do we fit in? They weren't looking for the Messiah really at all. What about the Magi? Well, they didn't have all the great tools like scripture that the Jews had, but they knew how to look at the sky. They were astrologers, and they used all the knowledge that they had to look at the sky, and they were anxiously looking and waiting, and when the star came, they saw it, because they were watching and waiting. I don't know exactly how you follow a star or what the Star of Bethlehem would have looked like, but whatever it is, it couldn't have been completely obvious because everyone in Jerusalem missed it. But the Magi were watching. When the star came, they knew it. They said, there it is. That's the star we've been waiting for. Let's go. Let's leave everything and follow. They saw it because they were watching and they knew what to look for. That's the important message in our life today. Here at Christmas, it's not just that we celebrate that Jesus came a long time ago at Christmas, but that Jesus continues to come to us each day with good news. Your life doesn't have to stay the way it is. Do we see that as good news? Or rather, are we so focused on the ground? Are we so focused on fitting in around us that the good news actually seems like trouble? Or do we even want to shoot the messenger? Rather, we need to be like these magi, with our eyes fixed not on this world, but on heaven, on the world to come, represented by the stars. Pope Benedict, in his encyclical Spe Salvi, reminds us that this is Christian hope. We can't look to this world to fulfill all our desires. Rather, do we look to heaven as our hope? We've got to continue to look towards the stars, towards heaven, just as the Magi did. Jesus comes every day. The star is shining in our life. Do we follow it? Maybe we do. Maybe we look up and we see the star. We say, there it is. But maybe we're afraid. Maybe we know that it would mean leaving things behind. Maybe it would mean sacrifice to follow Jesus. And so we're afraid to follow the star. Maybe we don't quite know how to see the star. Maybe, you know, we've got our Bible and our catechism, but like the sky, we just look up and say, it just looks like a bunch of stars. We don't see anything really important. We need a teacher to help us see. No, look here. This is important. Look at this and that and help us interpret. Whatever it is, the one thing we can't do is just look at the ground and go on and ignore the star. The Magi today, with great personal sacrifice, left everything and followed the star. The question then is, will we?